Welcome to the AquariMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 39, recorded the 29th of November, 2010.
All right, hey everybody. Here we are.
Welcome back. I hope you're all very full of turkey and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie.
Unless you happen to be in a country where you don't eat those things, or you're a vegetarian, or you're an anti-potatoist.
Yes, but I've never met an anti-potatoist.
No, and that was not meant in any sort of way as a slight against vegetarians. I have lots of friends who are vegetarians, and I've contemplated becoming a vegetarian myself on many occasions.
But you've never contemplated being an anti-potatoist.
That's true. Okay, so there we go.
We have some emails to talk about this week. Hooray! The first one is from Jim, and I'm going to read it to you. Since it's not a phone message, I can't play it for you. I'm going to read it to you. Okay, here we go. He says, "The contact form on your WordPress blog is broken, so I'm leaving message here. Thanks for a great podcast. Keep up the great work. My idea for a topic was for you to talk about what resources you use to support your hobby, like books, websites, there's so many, local clubs or other. Thanks." Okay, so thank you for your email. First of all, thank you for pointing out the WordPress problem to us. If you're ever having a problem, please bring it to our attention so we can serve you better.
And thanks to John, who happens to be my cousin and one of my very best friends in the world. He is also the technical guru for AquariMax. If I can't figure something out, he can, and he fixed the comments field. So there you go.
So if any of the rest of you have been having problems, it should be fixed now.
And John, if you're listening, thanks again.
We love you.
Okay.
So, on to the body of the email. About resources. First, tell us about books.
Well, this is the thing about books.
Tell us the thing about books.
And it's funny because there was an article about something like this in Aquarium Fish magazine that just came out. The most recent issue. I think it's January. The author there made a point that books on aquarium stuff, aquarium topics, are great, but they're often not very updated because you can write one, and then by the time it's published, new technologies come out. So there's an issue, but I started out reading books that were written in the 50s and 60s, like Exotic Aquarium Fish by Paul Villiard and stuff like that, that are ancient books where...
And this is when you were a little kid.
Yes, this is when I was a little kid. That's what I started out with. But they actually helped me in some ways, even though some of the information was outdated. The main thing is, a lot of them are, but there will always be something useful you can find in them. I learned how to culture Daphnia from a book that was written in, 1942 or something like that. So, and it worked. It helped. So,
do you have favorites?
I don't know. It's hard to say. There really are so many out there.
Nostalgic favorites from these authors from the 50s that you started out with as a kid.
I do collect vintage pet books of various kinds. I have one that was written in the 1940s, I think, originally by Francis Christie, and another one by Jack Bentley Astrup that was written in the 50s and so on, where they advocate keeping 50 fish in a 20-gallon tank, and which might be possible if there's Celestial Pearl Danios or something like that. But this is before the days of, decent filtration. So, kind of scary in some ways, these old books. And I don't in any way advocate doing things like that. But I would just say that there are really too many books out there to go for, and I might say that with equal validity of websites, but I'm going to give you some websites because it's easier to do
with books, though. If they are looking for books, would a general rule of thumb be to go with the most recent edition of whatever book that you're looking at then?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for, but I suppose so, yeah. I mean, but that seems sort of common sense, I suppose. Really hard to say too much about that. I have a marine aquarium book that talks about going and collecting water from the ocean and chlorinating it to kill all the phytoplankton and stuff in it, and then using it in your tank after you get rid of the chlorine. I mean, it's an old book. It was written in, I think, the 70s. There are some scary things you can find in these old books, and it's fun to read them. But and there are much more recent books. I read a book a few years ago on breeding clownfish that was probably up to date enough, and still is, that you could use it and go breed clownfish. I mean, but I'm sure there had been advances in the hobby since then that would maybe make things easier. Anyway, let's go into websites, because books are too hard.
Sure, skip the hard answers.
Yes.
Okay, what are some of your favorite websites?
Okay, I started out with CompuServe Fishnet. I may have mentioned that before, but that was the internet before the internet, and they had something called Fishnet on CompuServe, which was sort of an ISP, an internet service provider, but before the internet existed, and you had to log on with your phone, and we had like a 1200 baud rate modem, and
the screen came up one line at a time,
but that's where I got my first microworms and things like that, so it did have its uses, and I learned some things from that. Of course, we're well beyond that now. Just to give a few of the websites that I visit a lot, aquabid.com, of course. You can find almost everything on that website that you would possibly want to buy.
It's like eBay, but for aquariums.
Yes, and hopefully you know about it if you don't already. I mean, I may be repeating the obvious, but if you don't know about it, check it out. You can find almost everything there. Even niche market items that not every aquarist wants to find. If you're a specialist in breeding specific types of aquatic snails, then there you go. That's great. Good place to go. If you are interested in rare catfish, another good place to go. They have everything, almost. And a lot of the people that are selling it are hobbyists, and there are also dealers and wholesalers and so on. So check it out. You can find almost everything there. Then, another one that I listen to a lot, I listen to a podcast by petfishtalk.com. Now, this website is run by a couple of guys, maybe you know of them already, the Bailey brothers, who have extensive experience keeping fish, mostly freshwater fish, I guess. And the website, as well as the podcast, is directed more towards beginners. But there are still plenty of good things to find there. They have advanced hobbyists who call in, and they do talk about some advanced topics. They have specialists who do guest spots on the show and so on that make it so that even if you're an advanced hobbyist, there's plenty that you can learn. And if you're not, then there's even more that you can learn. So I learned things listening to the show that I am surprised about. Consistently. I like to listen to them while I'm exercising. That's generally what I do. And I find out that it's a lot of great information there. I like wetwebmedia.com. This is an extensive knowledge base on almost everything related to aquaria. They have a staff of folks that know a lot, and they have an extensive frequently asked questions area that you are encouraged. Once you go to the website, you're encouraged to search for the answer to your question there. It's well organized, this frequently asked questions area, very well organized, in a way that makes it very intuitive to find the sorts of information you're looking for. And if it's not there, you can ask a question yourself, and they're generally very quick about getting back to you. I asked a few questions on Wet Web Media directly when I couldn't find anything there already, and I got very good answers that helped me out. I remember once back in Hawaii, I had some neon tetras that weren't doing so well, and I sent in a picture of this what appeared to be a growth that they were experiencing, several of them were. I sent it in, and I got some quick help, and it fixed the problem completely. And it wasn't something normal. It was something weird, but they were able to help me out. They, again, both freshwater and marine aquaria, they can help you out. Recently, CelestialPearlDanio.com was very helpful in getting me to be able to breed the Celestial Pearl Danios. By the way, second batch of fry is going strong. I have no idea how many of them are rainbow fish and how many of them are Celestial Pearl Danios, but there's a whole lot of fry in there.
Mixed up together.
They're mixed up together, but they're doing well, growing. And so That website has been helpful. Thecrib.com, and that's crib with K-R-I-B, kind of a pun there, I guess, but it's short for cribensis. They're great for a lot of planted tank resources and other things, live foods, things like that. Fishbase.org is great if you want to look up stats, basic stats on almost any fish ever kept in aquaria, or if you've ever thought about keeping an aquaria, or if anybody has ever thought about keeping an aquaria, that's a good place to go. Stats such as scientific names, common names, adult size, records of where it's been collected, all those sorts of things are available there. And if you it's searchable by both common name and scientific name, which is really helpful. You buy a fish under a common name and you don't know what the scientific name is and you'd like to, Fishbase is a good place to find it out. So there you go. Those are
now,
just a few. There are so
links?
Many.
Do we have links to these on the resource pages?
I'll put them on there. They're not on there yet.
So they
I'll
will
put them on there.
Be on there for you.
Yeah. There are so many others. So many others. I don't even know where to start. If you're into betas, then betatalk.com is a great one. And I can't even, I don't even know where to go. There's so many. But there's a few that could get you started if you haven't visited those. Let's say give those a try.
Okay. Now, what about local resources that we use and good ways for people to find good local resources?
Okay. Often online is a good place. If you look up, for example, fish clubs, aquarium clubs in your state, you do a search for aquarium clubs, you can often find websites that'll say, okay, what's your state? And you can find it that way. There is a website in our area. It's utahaquatics.com, which enables us to connect to local aquarists around here. They have a club that's in the area that has an auction a couple times a year. They have a trading post, which we have both bought and sold things on through the trading post there that have been really nice, things that are hard to find. I remember one time I was trying to find coolie loaches forever, and I may have mentioned this in the podcast about coolie loaches, but trying to find coolie loaches forever, none of the local stores really had any. I think I found one in a local store.
It was a dearth of coolie loaches.
Yeah, it was really hard to find them. And then finally, I went to utahaquatics.com and said, has anybody found any coolie loaches? And somebody said, yeah, you can go over to this place, and they're all over the place. And it was a place that I didn't know about. And it was a hobbyist who is almost a wholesaler. He has a huge fish room with all kinds of things, and he had about 100 coolie loaches. And so I was able to get those at a very good price. And it wasn't very far away, and it was really nice, just because of this local website. So I'd say, find your local websites, and you know, you can find clubs through those, and so on. Those are often a great resource. Buying, trading, selling can be a benefit because you're buying local, so that's good for the economy and everything, and it's also easier on you, and usually saves shipping costs. I've sold white clouds that way, got rid of an extra filter I didn't need that way, all kinds of things. So, there you go. And local shops are something we should talk about, too.
Yes.
You know, there's the big box store thing that happens, and
yeah.
It's really not a great thing.
I don't know who they are. You know who they are.
We can't really say the names, but, and there are probably some different big box stores in different places, but the idea is they're not the greatest thing for the hobby, and probably
great for dog and cat supplies.
Yeah, and you can buy a lot of cheap supplies at those places, but in terms of
actual fish.
Well, even not just for the actual fish, but just the fact that if you can, it's a good idea to give business to
absolutely,
you know, local fish stores, not big box stores, mm-hmm. because they need to stay in business, and the way they do is by selling supplies as well as fish and, mm-hmm. and everything. And so it's good to offer your business to them and patronize them as much as you can.
This isn't a commercial because it's not trying to sell you anything. It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. There. That wasn't so painful now, was it?
Dang, that was weird. That was trippy, man.
What was new?
I hope you like our new non-commercial break. It was awesome.
We made it just for you.
That was kind of unexpected, wasn't it? Okay, now back to the show. So, we're talking about local resources that we take advantage of.
Yes, and we're going to tell you some about our favorite local pet stores, fish stores.
Fish for You is a local store that we have. It's a really good store. It's just... well, they do have a few reptiles and amphibians, but it's basically fish.
Mostly just fish.
They don't have mammals, they don't have cat and dog supplies, and so on. And it's locally owned and operated. It's not a franchise or anything, it's just one of them. It's a really good store in terms of knowledge. The staff is very knowledgeable. They're all passionate about fish. They are honest. If they have a question, they don't know the answer. Most of them do know almost all of the answers, but if they don't, they'll talk to somebody else in the store who does. They have people who specialize in freshwater more and people who specialize in salt, but they all know a lot about both. Sometimes it's fun just to see what they know. Ask them a lot of questions and just see what they know. That's a good way to keep them hopping, but it's also fun and useful to find out, you know, what they know so that you can profit from their knowledge. And we've got a couple more in the area, too. That one's really close to our house. That's the one we usually go to.
It's about, what, 5 minutes?
Probably 5 minutes from our house, which is really nice. I don't think we've ever lived that close to a
specialty
fish-only store, which is really nice. They'll also take things in credit. You know, I can bring in some baby bristle noses, or I brought in, what was it, a dozen assassin snails the other day, and they gave me $25 in credit.
So if you do have a locally owned, you know, fish-specific store, and you are breeding things, that would be a good way to make some money off the ones that you're not going to keep and, you know, not have to worry about trying to ship it through the mail with all that headache and hassle.
Yeah, it's just nice to be able to do that.
It's always good to have on your resources list.
Yeah, and the more they know you, the better off you are and the better off they are. I mean, when I first started going in, they'd take things and they'd say, okay, well, we'll give you a couple of days and make sure everything's doing okay, and then we'll call you, or you can call and we'll let you know how much credit we can give you. But now, I'll just go in there and hand them something. They'll say, oh, this looks good. We'll just take it, and they'll give me the credit right away because they're used to me and they know me enough that they can trust me and so on. So that's a good thing to build up. Yeah, so basically the message is get to know your local pet stores because they can be a great resource for you. We've got others, but you're probably not going to visit them unless you happen to live in our neighborhood, so there you go. But I think that was a great idea, and hopefully I covered some of the concepts that, Jim, you were asking about, and if not, let us know what you meant, and we'll try to get to that, too. Now let's move on to Rob's email. The first thing is, Rob has called before, and he's actually from Michigan, and I misidentified him as being from Texas. I'm not sure where I got that, but I did. He's actually from Michigan. So, sorry about
no
that.
No cowboy hats.
No. Oh, I don't think you should say that. The Texas people get mad.
No, we love Texas.
I know, but...
Okay, can I tell a total tangent true story about Texas? Please?
Okay.
Please, please, please. It has nothing to do with fish, but I laughed my patootie off. My freshman year in college. Okay. This is a totally true story. I was in the cafeteria eating breakfast. Somebody, there's like 50 people in the cafeteria. Somebody really, truly stands up and says, "The stars at night are big and bright." And seriously, like 3 or 4 other people stood up, did the little clapping thing, and said, "Deep in the heart of Texas." It was so funny, because it was like living in a cartoon for about 10 seconds there. And that, okay, I'm done. Thank you indulging me in my little tangent about Texas.
That
we really do love you, Texas.
Yes, I spent many summer days in Texas when I was a child enjoying myself thoroughly with the 4 ponds that my grandma had on her ranch. So there you go. Texas is a great place, and I hope we have lots of listeners from Texas, and I hope none of them are offended by that. Anyway, that was a huge tangent. So let's go back to Rob. Okay. Now, Rob sent us some cool pictures of his fish and turtle tanks. I really like them. And I hope that Rob will give us permission to put them up on our website.
That
on the resources page,
yes,
that connects to this podcast. So, Rob, if you're listening, let us know. And we'll put those up. And he actually had some other cool things to say. So hopefully we'll be able to put those up and you can take them out, take a look at them. I really liked how he set up his island for his turtles using some egg crate and some zip ties. Zip ties are amazing. They really are. And I really loved his 29-gallon paludarium that has red cherry shrimp in it. And it's got several ferns and a bonsai ficus tree in it, and it looks really cool. It looked like it had some Anubias down in the water and things like that. And then his tank with clown loaches and goldfish and so on. I know normally you don't mix them, but they seem to be working for him, so there you go. He also had his own podcast, which is pretty cool. It sounds cool.
Shout out.
Yeah, it's called Deep Space Rob, The Next Generation. And it's at deepspacerob.blogspot.com, so check that out. It's a Star Trek / culture podcast, which sounds like it's a lot of fun. So there you go. It was, and we'll just wait and see if Rob will give us permission to put his pictures up, because I hope so.
They were very nice.
Some very cool turtles and some fish. Oh, I didn't mention the blue gourami he's got in the 55 and so on. And a painted turtle and a rittered slider. So hopefully you'll have a chance to check that out. Mm-hmm. Now, we're also going to take a look at, not take a look at, but we're going to discuss a few developments in our aquaria. I did mention that we've got the baby neon blue rainbow fish and our dwarf neon rainbow fish and the celestial pearl danios that are growing up together in sort of an unconventional situation. But I thought I'd mention a little bit about what we feed them.
That's
been interesting.
Idea.
I made infusoria. I used some leaves of water sprite that I dried out first, and then I poured aquarium water over them to start out with as a base for the infusoria. I also added the innards of a green pea to get that going. And then I gave them some of that infusoria, did that for a few days. I also used egg yolk. We get the eggs. What's special about the eggs we get?
Oh, we love our eggs. Okay, we make sure to get the happy, healthy, free range, no hormones, no antibiotics, no yucky nasty stuff.
And another benefit of these eggs is they're very high in omega-3s. And as we all know, omega-3s are very good for fish.
And people.
So
you can actually see the difference. You know, they're a deeper, more golden yellow. The shells are actually harder to crack because they're healthier.
Yeah.
They taste better.
So they're better for the fish with all those omega-3s. So there we go. We've got omega-3s in them. And I use that egg yolk and I pulverize it, mix it with some of the infusoria water and give that to the fish. After I'd done that for a few days, I started giving them vinegar eels and pulverized golden pearls mixed with water, as well as, after a little while, banana worms and microworms. And it seems to be working well. The fish are growing visibly. I do small water changes with a turkey baster every day. It's a 2.5-gallon tank that I've got them in. So I change, almost every day. I should do it every day. But very close to every day, I do a little water change. And they seem to be doing very well. We hope to see some development soon. They're all just transparent fry. They don't look like anything yet as far as species go.
We can't tell who's who.
So we'll find that out soon. We also had a new hatching of bristlenose plecos in our 55. I was able to get four of them out. All four of those happen to be albinos. I'm hoping to get some of the others out too. There are some calicos in there, at least one calico, and several just wild-type coloration in there. We'll see what we can get out. But I found out of the various places the male might be nesting, he's actually created his nest in a piece of that Malaysian driftwood. And it's hard to see what's going on in there because there's a whole bunch of Java moss growing in front of it. But
that's probably why he likes it.
It may be why he likes it, and it's working well. So it's fun to watch baby fry, or baby fried. Now, there is a redundant term for you, but it's fun to watch baby fish, a.k.a. fry, develop and grow, and especially when they just appear and shock you to death, like the rainbow fish did for me. So there you go.
Oh, Black-Eyed Susan.
Oh, yes. We recently acquired a calico fantail goldfish who, because all of our other goldfish had male names, even though we rather suspected they were females, we figured...
And they all have a pirate theme.
They all have a pirate theme. We had Wendell the Wet some time ago. We had, unfortunately, he has passed on now. We have Bert the Bubbly and Applefishy, who's our daughter named when she was two. So
he doesn't quite
doesn't really
the
have
pirate
a pirate name.
But he does only...
Yeah,
he looks like a pirate.
He looks like a pirate. He's missing an eye, actually. So, yeah. So he looks like a pirate.
If we could get him a little fishy
eye patch,
be great.
Yeah.
But.
And then, anyway, we got this calico fantail to go with him, and turned out to be a male. And Bert spawned.
Bert turned out to be a female.
Yeah, so maybe it's Bert.
Which you had suspected for a while.
I had suspected
for
a while.
He came with his name, so...
Yes, he was an adoption by someone who could no longer keep Bert, and we adopted Bert. And Bert's about three times as big as he was then, or now she, I guess, and laid eggs all over the Anubias in the tank. And
we were quite amused because as we were bringing Black-Eyed Susan home, we thought, oh, all the fish have most of the fish have had boy pirate names. Let's give this one a girl name. And we said out loud, wouldn't that be funny if it turned out to be a male?
And it did.
And it did.
Despite the lack of breeding tubercules on the operculae or on the rays of the pectoral fin, they weren't visible to any degree, but it still turned out to be a male. And there you go. So you never know what will happen. We may have to do something about that because if we're going to have goldfish spawning all the time, that could be tricky. But we'll see. Anyway, I think that's about it for this week, is it not?
Yes.
So enjoy your week, and keep contacting us. And thank you to all those who have contacted us for this week and for next week's podcast. We've already got someone lined up for that. So
not that that should keep you from calling.
No. We want as many lined up as possible, please. It's a good thing. It keeps us going. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.